I have thought about it. And my first question is, where do we start from? Do we start where it got bad? Where everything like went and it was a Singapore? Or do we start from the good memories of childhood and being naive? I think we start from there. Today on Unspoken Podcast, I am the guest, and this is a monologue about me, talking about myself. And I have thought about it. And my first question is, where do we start from? Do we start where it got bad? Where everything like went and it was a Singapore? Or do we start from the good memories of childhood and being naive? I think we start from there. So I was born from a Christian family. My father is the last born out of 10 children, 2 daughters and 8 sons. My grandfather was so light-skinned, too light-skinned. Makes me not look like I come from my tribe. Maybe a plus, maybe not. You never know. And this family was religious. And at the same time, they all went to school. And those times they did things like teaching, managing. They got good jobs. I must say their parents did their best to educate them. However, you know, exposure. Why do I talk about exposure? Because I think this is going to be a component in my story. How naivety and exposure equals who you become, the opportunities that you find, because somehow that is how life is. Opportunities. Who are the first people who held you? Who are the first people who opened doors, and which doors did they open for you? For me, I think the first people who opened my doors were supposed to be my grandparents, who died, apparently all of them. I mean, we really don't have to get into that, but I feel like it would have also kind of shaped me differently, but all these are just perspectives. So yeah, I was born in a Christian family. There was love. There was, you know, going to church and doing all that on a daily Sunday. My mom used to teach Sunday school. My dad is an elder in a church. So yeah. And as a girl, as a firstborn, I was always encouraged to work hard. And being a Capricorn, you know how we Capricorns are. I took all the responsibility. I was always different. I wanted change. I wanted better. I'm not saying that we're not doing better, but I know that I wanted growth from where we were. My father is a teacher, special education. My mom does works with CBO, and yeah. By then, she was not really doing a lot because my father was taking much of the burden, and she was just running a beauty shop and being a wife. But that also didn't go well. She was married in 99, and I was the first one, I guess, who led to the marriage, something like that. And if you ask me, I think like who your parents are, what they believe in, who they want to become, shape you. My mom was a different breed. She was like me. She wanted better. She wanted more, because also she had been brought up as a princess. They were well off. My dad, on the other hand, they were educated, yes, but not so well off. And he lacked exposure because where he learned in the same place, you know, no journey was say ushagazeni is gonna shule alafu mnaenda to kufanya mahali diploma, you get, and then you come back and he's a mama's boy and all that. So I guess this is now where the real tea is. You know, 2020. We all know 2020 for the Corona, right? This thing really shaped people's lives differently. For me, I guess that's when everything started to sink above. Mm-hmm. You clock it. Yeah. So in 2020, I'm just going to jump because the rest is just education. And my parents figuring out life. They had a few issues in there, but I was not so aware because also as a firstborn, I had exposure. My mom used to take me to go stay with my aunt in Nairobi, in Langata, in Kanibo. So in high school, I used to come to Nairobi a lot than I was staying with my parents. And for me, I used to see different things in life and see life differently. And I wanted my siblings and my family to grow. Because these were also other people like who are in my family, but mostly from my mother's side and a few from my dad's side. Yeah. So when I was in class 8, class 7, that is like 20, you know, yeah, back then. My mom and dad, I think, started having issues. I was not so aware my other sis was, because you know how she was living in that with them most of the time. But I remember as time went by, high school, things started getting bad. You know, when your dad starts telling you shit about your mom is telling you shit about your dad, we are going down the drain. A first boon. A girl like in her teen listening to marital issues. And can you imagine the younger me knew I knew better, so I used to give these old folks advice. A moment of silence. That's when it started getting bad because I was putting myself in positions that I was not supposed to. I was picking sides. I was in a situation I was not supposed to be. I was not supposed to be parenting my parents, but apparently I was. So, seeing the way the situation is and everything, blah, 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 my mom decides to leave in 2020. Like you, my mom was just doing some small business, right? So, at this moment, we are left with my dad, who is the breadwinner, literally, here. As I said, I'm a go-getter, so I had done computer after high school, and I knew how to do cashier works and stuff. So during Corona, I was like, hey, Dad, Kisumu ain't far. Our shago to Kisumu is just like 30, 45 minutes drive. I want to go look for something to do because apparently there's nothing I'm doing. I had begged my dad to help me crochet, which I am right now doing. Yes, something I learned from scratch. So in this 2020, I wanted to do something. I hate being idle, you know. So I asked my dad, because he's teaching in this special school, there's a teacher who does crochet. So I'm like, hey, why don't you, so that I can always go to classes or meet with the lady and I can learn how to crochet, blah, blah, blah. But months was never coming through. There's a friend of mine. She is a homie. And she also crochet and her mom was doing. So I used to go to hers and crochet. But you know how she stays with her mom. So sazingina pato amenda mbele nimeachwa. Unakuwa discouraged. So in 2020, I learned, I stopped. Nikataka sasa kwenda Kisumu, I get some job for myself. So I leave and I go and I get oil, you know, that petrol station. The one at Nyamasaria, or is it Molem? If you know, you know. Yeah. So I work there as a cashier, getting some money so I could rent, you know, come to work and just move on with my life. Meanwhile, my siblings and my dad are left there. So it comes around deck, we're supposed to go back to school. So I be calling my dad. I'm like, hey, what are we doing about my fare, school fees, and blah, blah, blah. Do you know mom's never caught my calls? Hakushika. I remember in a day I would missed call that man like even 21 times and he would not. So I decided to go. And man says him, he cannot stay with daughters without their mom. The plot thickens. So here we are. I'm not going back to school because my dad does not want to take care of girls because we are three girls with one of a ton, a very beautiful, intelligent, beautiful girls. Yeah? I'm like, me, I'm not dealing with this bullshit. So I go back, work. I'm like, I'll figure it out, you know. Nimbaya, that time, my two sisters are in high school. The good thing is that as a firstborn, I opened so many doors. So there was a scholarship door I had opened when I passed in my primary exams. So it kind of continued to my other sister. And luckily enough, God worked in ways, my other sister had a county sponsorship that my mom had worked to get, you know. Yeah. So then they could still go to school. But me, who is staying in Nairobi, you need to pay rent, you need fees or whatever. I'm stranded. I can't afford that. That's how I stopped my university education at JKU. And I think that's where it goes down. Now, let's go back to when I got back to JKUAT. I was a 17-year-old girl, very young, very naive, from that religious family. I hope you guys are following. I know it is in parts, but we connect. Yeah. And as usual, you know, when you get out here, I have really never dated in high school. I'm born in a strict family. I used to preach as a child. I'm in Sunday school. I'm acting. That's probably all I know. I even don't know how to swim up to now as an adult because as a child, I did none of that. It's so sad. So, yeah. I go to Nairobi. First time, you know I had been to Nairobi, but that I was staying with my aunt at Langata. That's kind of different, you know. She's in charge. There are other elder cousins. So we go to Nairobi, but, you know, yeah. This is now me alone for the first time in Juja at 17. And I'm looking for a house. I am, you know, just starting life. I get a boyfriend. I guess that was where that is where the mistake started. Cause I didn't know what I knew love was, and I didn't know what this boy knew love was. Coming to look back at it, he was not also from a family that there was love. It's not like he really saw his father lead or be a good man or what. And then his mom dies in 2019. Mimi kama girlfriend mzuri, tunaenda hadi matanga. Hey, jamani, the things I have done for love. Have I released me also? Anyway, that's the past. So, yeah. So, this boy, I'm talking about him because he's also a key thing that changed my life or thickened the plot. When it just starts to rain, it rains, it rains. So his mom dies in 2018. He was at UON and I'm JKUAT. So this guy is the type of guys who wanted to spend every little time with me. Adi kuna time, nikama alikuwa nasoma JKUAT na si UON because he's ever at UON. Na mi kama chana 17, sijaishi peke yangu nini, tumekaa kwangu. Mistake number one. Girls, are we learning? Do not stay with that man in your house. No, don't. So his kumbe is a parasite, you know. We are here. I have stayed with this man, you know. I'm taking care of him unknowingly. I am housing him and he's my boyfriend. Yeah. And you're not going to class. Sometimes you're going, sometimes you're not going. But him, he was not totally going. Me, at least I was still always going. And then also being born from a family that both my parents are AA, I think AOAO, there is immunity issues. So there are times when the weather is not good and, you know, allergies and just getting sick here and there. And you're in Nairobi, life is not easy. I don't even think I have insurance or something. I'm using my dad's and sometimes it is not sufficient. And sometimes, like, life was just not okay for me. And this guy was toxic for my life. I don't know. I don't even know how to open up and tell this story of staying with a guy you think you love, but it is narcissistic. He's draining you. He has taken the energy from you. He has just messed your life in so many ways that you can't think. I don't have friends. I just, you know, my life revolves around him. I'm now chasing him. I'm this guy. I don't know. I am pathetic. That's all I can say. And this continues because I leave this guy at the same time in 2020. And I used to have a friend when nilienda kukaa kwake. Juju saizi mamangu alikuwa sijui anaishi kwa safe house. We don't have a house. I cannot go back to my dad's. My dad doesn't want to see us. My other sister was taken by my aunt. like, we are just surviving. Kila mtu tu ana survive. Hey. So, yeah. This guy, I thought he loved me. I thought we were, you know, those love stories where people work hard and we grow together, but it never happened. So I left him in 2020, and then we get back together because now I went to stay with my friend who was also dating her toxic husband. Any story in Guinness, going in a man. But she convinced me to go back to this guy. I get back to this guy because it was the late end of 2020. Remember, I'm still working at that Ola place. And he comes and stays with me in Kisumu again. Nimbaya. Nimbaya wase. Waki kufunga. Watu wakunywa kisema wanakutafuta, wanakupata. And they caught me. Very naive, very stupid, very giving. I do not know. I don't know anything about life. I have not been taught. I think everybody is a good person. I think we all want the same thing and are working towards it. Kumbe kuna watu wako na agenda. Huh? So, yeah. First, moving forward, we get back in 2020, about 2021. Akani convinced to end Mombasa. Mimi huyo, I left my work at Ola because also I'm like, it's not really paying well and you're spending more than 12 hours working at that place. I'm like, if there are better things in Mombasa, why not? I'm not schooling. What am I doing with my life? Let's go, baby. So he went ahead of me. It is to prepare, blah, 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 blah. Hey! Yes, I. Kumbe, kijana. Achani si release your tea kwanza. Sasa, mimi nikamfuata because I'm believing we have a house, blah, 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 you know, we go in. So I leave my work, I go. I think my babe has been working and he's setting up a place. I went, my first shock, my first red flag that I ought to have flown from and I didn't, is that we were staying in a house that was like a sex house because it was a three-bedroomed house and this nigga was hosting us. Was gay and was doing those sexual activities you do online with wazungus. So there are other men and ladies in this house, but they are doing fishy jobs. This is a very dark part of life. This is where life has shown me first. I saw my friends do, you know, the gay, because most of them were gay, which makes me say, I think my boyfriend went to Mombasa and became gay. At first, I was shukuring, but, you know, he was undercovering, blah, blah, blah. We are given our own space, so we are the couple of the house, that other couple. You know, people are just staying. It's crazy. But I've now left, and at that time, I'm like, let me just give a chance to see what Mombasa have. Maybe he has a plan or something. Me, I'm just giving opportunities to a man. When you're in love, God, there is no bar. The bar was not there. I had nothing. So, once that happened, we stay in this house, you know, we are going to the gym. The place was good, though. We are going to the gym. We have an inbuilt swimming pool, you know. Life is good. I'm going to the gym. I'm eating well. But I'm really trying to figure out what's really happening. Namuliza ile nyumba, nini nini, tukua tumepanga, what? He just keeps pushing and telling me that there is something he's planning. That man was a pathological liar. He'd even show you a house and things that are not existing. And stupid me was always believing. In 2021, I get pregnant. So for the first 1.5 months, I don't know, I'm pregnant. Stupid girl. Mimi natibu tu tonsils. I'm there every day at the doctor treating tonsils because my tonsils were not, they were always flaring up. Let's drink water. They were always flaring up. So I really didn't think it was pregnancy. Until now we visit another doctor and that doctor says, maybe this could be pregnancy. Have you thought of testing? Because I hear the thyroid, I don't know, hormones when you're pregnant. For some women like me, they affect the tonsils. So yeah, I heard that I'm pregnant. This man, we talk about it, he convinces me. And also the naive me really didn't think of Mary stops then, you know, things like that. So I give in, we keep the baby with the ideology of you're moving because he's working, there is money, life is good. You're believing in the promises. Kidogo, akanambia, I go and stay in Malindi with some of the cousins who had a house there because that place was now not being conducive. I've already told you how it was, and I'm pregnant, and I couldn't eat the first 3 months. It was horrible. Has he plans that house we were talking about? He'll come and pick me. So I go. I stay there. I think that was good. I got friends. There were other single young moms, you know. Yeah. And those people loved me. That is when I have ever received love from a family that was not my own. That woman and her daughter and everybody in that family loved me. And everybody warned me not to go back to that man. They told me to stay with them. But I was like, no, my boyfriend loves me. And we've been creating a future and all this and all that. Whenever he calls me to go back, I will, which he did. When he did, amechukua kanyumba kweli na vitu. And at this time, he's now working at booking.com. He's working for one of these friends that he knows. There are so many wajaluos. Naturally, can be a wajaluo. Wanaume hadi wenye wameoleka. Wanapeana simu tu. What I saw in Mombasa is crazy. And I first come forward, I get pregnant. Now we're there. We're staying in our own house. Our other couple was a friend also got pregnant. Oh, I just... And now, I think we are setting a family. But I'm trying to come to Nimongo. Like, life just does not go. He keeps on lying. He was never coming to the house on time. Atimara ako out na my boys. Why are you always staying out with men? Instead of your pregnant girlfriend and taking care of her. Food natumiwa ni takeaway na letewa lakini yeye naye hafiki. I was sleeping in the house alone. At 7 months, things get worse. It was even involving police case because now this guy is a fraud. He is a con. He has used my line to con people, people I know, people I didn't know, everyone who was in my contact. Even where he was working, where I was employed at the booking.com, he has conned people. Adi wa mama wanatoka Germany, wapi wapi wenye amebook nyumba nzuri nzuri Nyali, sijui wapi wapi. Wote kachukua pesa zao huyu kijana. Yani huyu kijana alikuwa na tabia zingine za chini za maji maji, hazieleweki. Ukimuuliza yuakataa, lakini matendo yakaja yakawa mabaya. Sasa polisi akaitwa. Kwa sababu yule mama aliyetoka Germany did not want jokes. She wanted her money because she was, I don't know, almost 30,000 per night, you know. This dude gets caught. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine how stupid he is? I used to ask him every time, hey, did you book that woman's house? Because I know how he goes. And I was always waiting and I was telling and I warned him. Yes, boy. Na alikuja. Adi akalala kwa nyumba. Alikuja late though. Asubi akamkati. Oh, you know, kuna that deal of those mamas, nini nini. I'm like, sure. I'm like, are you sure you booked? As the liar that is, he says yes. He goes, Zuko, he was trying to fix things. They didn't work. He was caught. He went to prison. Trust me, he went. And when he did, my eyes woke up in a different way. I was 7 months pregnant in Mombasa. Who? With a house, I don't know how I'm going to pay. I had some few thousands that I had saved, yes, but if we were going to spend them on rent and what, we're not going to have any money left by the time we are giving birth. I have not really told my mom I'm pregnant because my mom is also just finding her life. Hey, chon kambia marazamushu na mwanga family is the thing. Now my mom wants me. I have to reach my mom because who else is going to help me? I met this woman in Mombasa who is like, tafadhali, she convinces me to just call my mom that going back home is better. And I refuse and I refuse until the 9th month. Then I surrender and I say, oh God, if this is what it's supposed to happen, who am I? But when I go back home, who am I going to be? Where am I going to start? It felt like a hard thing. It felt like going back. I don't know. I was afraid of facing me, my family. I felt like I had failed them. I had always wanted to give my sisters a good life. I'd always, you know, I just wanted to be that firstborn they could always rely on financially, emotionally. Like, I've always wanted to be there for my siblings. I love those people. I love my family. But this time I felt like my own choices and the things that I had allowed in my life from naivety, from not knowing, from knowing, from not making decisions, or whatever, if it was written for me, happened. Yeah. And I gave birth in 2022 to a beautiful baby boy. He looks like me. That boy is cute. And that boy is a blessing in our life because he changed our life. For the first time, we met together, me, my mom, my sisters. And we started staying in that safe space too. And the show she was there took us in, all of us. She had one daughter who also had so many children, like three, yeah. And then they were in Finland. And this safe house was big, you know. It was a big one. It was a sturdy building, so there was room. She took us in. She even gave me a job as an administrator. And I did my job while I was earning something small to take care of my baby. God came in so many ways. I have never lacked. I mean, the journey has been hard. But I was always out there receiving and getting. And yeah, I didn't even know who I am or what was going to happen. But we kept on pushing. And one thing I knew that asked it to go that maybe never lack. Maybe never lack. Yeah, this journey, because now I had started a new journey. I'm a new person, I'm a mom to a baby that I had planned with a life with another man who is no longer there. Now it is up to me to give this baby a life. I am a school dropout. You feel me? My family is scattered. And so that is around 2022. Yeah, I work there. The CBO closes. And then it reopens. But by then, I'd already gotten some cashier work somewhere else. And then after that, I just now do these cashier small jobs that I was taking care to, you know, get pampers, get Cerelac and such treats because I wanted my baby to be okay. And I vowed it to myself to give him a better life. So yeah. As time moves on, God blesses us with people who want to see us grow, with people who love us. And there was a family friend who loves our family. And this family friend has helped us a lot and been with us in so many ways that we cannot thank him enough. I'd even say he's my father figure right now because he has stepped in to help, yeah, whenever he can. And plus my mom working, you know, because now we are homeless. We are paying rent. I went back to school. My other sister is in school. Things are not easy, you know, sources of income, yeah. And it is through God's grace because trust me, you, none of our family members, like even from my dad's side or, you know, my wherever cared because no one ever came to me and was like, where, mom? But I know you're going to say expected. No, it's not expectation. Sometimes it is always good to have people who can lift you up when life is getting you down. That is what I'm saying. Or people you can turn to and ask for help because sometimes you need help. In that situation, we needed help. Not that we were demanding, we were just asking, but there was none. But maybe we were to learn a lesson or maybe that is how it was supposed to be because eventually everything worked out. Yeah. Right now I'm finishing up my degree. My other sister is too. My other sister was taught by my aunt, finished her KMTC, and life has been building up, you know, in ways that I can't tell. I am here today talking about this story, not in tears, but just remembering how it has been a journey of so many things. A journey where we have had to grow, we have had to learn, adjust, be new people. And still life did not take me out. I'm still here, a student right now. Yeah, I am still here being a mom. I'm here crocheting. I am here still wanting to see how it gets better because eventually it gets better. That was a phase in life that shaped me to who I am today. And that is the story of my life. And I can't wait for it to get better. I can't wait to see good things, the grace. The only thing is that with this, it comes the learning and the unlearning. you know, where you need to unlearn some behaviors because they only serve at that point because you've been in survival mode. You're healing. And yeah, all I know is that it has gotten better. And the more you become yourself, the more you find people. There are other people who want to see you win, even if your family does not want to see you win. Yeah. You know what people from my dad's side always say? Ati, Rudini nyuma. You know, that we're supposed to understand our dad for abandoning us. We're supposed to understand him for just letting us young girls go without caring what the world was like for us outside there. We're supposed to understand that he was hurt. Or, I don't know what is there to understand, but that is what they say. We understand. What do we understand? Why are we understanding? Who is understanding me for the pain? Who is understanding me for maybe the decisions I made that if he was there, would have not happened? Who is understanding my mom who had to stand strong for 4 children? You know, who is understanding our struggle of coming out of the bare minimums of the ground, of narcissisticness, abuse, you know, emotional neglect, not being guided, not being protected? Who is standing in for us? When all you have had to do as a girl is teach yourself, and hope that in everything that you teach yourself, you're either getting it right or learning, and you get people who want to see you win, and who don't think that your life is so good that they want to make it hard to, you know, and you have to unlearn the bare minimum that life taught you from a young age, the naivety, you know, and all that. And I think I've said so much, and I don't know if I've left anything, but these are stories that I have cried over. They have made me emotional. They were so raw, you know, at some point in my life. And at some point in my life, I decided not to hold them. I decided to let the weight go. I decided to release the people, the experiences, forget. I know they say you cannot forget, but I forget. On my daily life, I wake up and I'm blessed. I wake up and I'm a new person. That person who went through those things, I don't know them anymore. This person is blessed. This person is better learning and doing things in a different way. I don't know how long it takes for the results to show to get to where I want to be, but I know that I'm doing something, and that is what I'll stand on. And I appreciate the people who are laying their hands on the ground for me to move on to the other side. Bye-bye. I hope you enjoy, relate, and comment. Well, 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 well. Now that's an unspoken story. You've listened to the story, and that's the first story of our series, What's Your Unspoken Story? That's actually the first episode in 2 years. Our last episode was back in 2024, so that's how you make a comeback. So I hope you've learned a lot from this story, because I have learned a lot. I have learned a lot. Anyway, before we get into, I need to talk about this specific story. But before that, if you want to share your story, if you have an unspoken story that you want to share, I'll leave a link in the description of this episode. Fill the Google form and we're going to get back to you. Okay, so this guy, let me give you a background of how we met with this girl. So this girl, actually, we were high school mates. We were not even in the same class, so we weren't friends as such. We just knew each other. And we cleared high school, of course. We parted ways. Everyone went their own way. And we reconnected, actually, back in 2023.
And actually, when we reconnected, I met her through a colleague at a party. Crazy. So we exchanged contacts, and then we stayed in contact for a while. Like, we used to, you know, in WhatsApp, we talk while, once in a while, like, hi, yeah, yeah, yeah. So she found out about my podcast, and when, and then we met, and then we recorded this story. So it's crazy. I'm saying that because it's crazy how you may, you might be in contact with someone, you might know people, you might think you're close with someone, but then you actually know, you actually have no idea what they have been through. You actually don't know who they are. Like, we, you actually don't know what has happened to them. It's crazy. Like, it's so crazy. And that's why I really want a lot of people to talk about the unspoken stories. Just, it's just good to open up. I know. Just open up. You never know what your story is going to do to someone. So what really stood out for me in this story is how she talked about how being naive and lacking exposure can influence who you become, and just how being exposed can influence who you become, which is actually very, very true. I was reading a Substack note the other day, and someone said that the only way to get more opportunities is to expand your exposure, expand your environment, expand how who you reach, where you, who you become. It really influences who you become. And how she talked about how her being a Capricorn made her to take all the responsibility, made her to bear the burden of her parents and her siblings. And it's actually true, because I am a Capricorn, so I really, really relate. And how your parents shape you, who your parents are, actually shape you. People, a lot of people don't really get that. A lot of people don't actually know that who your parents are shape you. How you are raised, your childhood, it really influences who you become as an adult. A lot of people rarely understand that. And how she was saying how people are telling her and her siblings to understand their dad for abandoning them. Like, how? Why? Why? Why are you understanding your parent for abandoning you? Doesn't make sense. And I was seeing this. There's a conversation people were having on X the other day, how people are saying that understand your parents. It's the first time becoming parents too. Okay, understand that. But I'm here because of you. So as much as I'm going to understand you, but you have to do whatever you have to do to take care of me. Literally, I am your offspring. I am a child. And I say this on the same, that no one can love your kid the way you love your kid as a parent in this entire world. No one will ever love your kid more than you. So it's your responsibility to take care of your kid no matter what it takes. So I was like, yeah, they're not supposed to understand their dad. He abandoned them. And he abandoned them because they were girls. That's the worst part. Because he couldn't afford to take care of girls. Like, he abandoned them because they were girls. Because their mom wasn't around. How crazy is that? That's insane. So you can't understand their parents. No, you can't talk about that. And that's why nowadays when people are talking about being child-free, we understand that, because you'd rather be child-free than bring a child to this universe and then end up abandoning them. It doesn't make sense. Once you're a parent, once you bring a child to this world, it's your key responsibility to take care of that child. If you're not ready, then abstain or use protection. It's as simple as that, because who your parents are shape you. And then she ended up parenting her parents, and she's not alone. A lot of people go through this, especially as firstborns. I'm not a firstborn, I'm a secondborn. Especially as firstborn daughters, actually, I've had a lot of conversations with firstborn daughters, and this is their story. They end up parenting their parents. They end up parenting their siblings. So it's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy. Anyway, I don't want to give a summary of the story. You've listened to the story. It's her story. Thank you so much for sharing your story. Anyway, thank you for listening. Tune into What's Your Unspoken Story, the series, episode 2, dropping soon. See you on the next episode. Adios.